This is Hazel Kahn on North Fork Works, the monthly program where I introduce you to my interesting neighbors out here on the North Fork. This month, my guest is Otto Schoenstein, a man of many talents who has been chosen by Greenport's Maritime Festival to be this year's Person of Honor. June, Otto's wife of many years, is joining us around the table in their bright, sunny dining room. I'm very happy to welcome both of you, June and Otto.
Nice to meet you.
Thank
too.
You.
Yes.
I know you are an incredibly accomplished man, that you keep creating stuff. You can't stop designing, decorating, creating. But I'd like to start out for finding out basically when you were born and where and how you came to Greenport.
Okay. Well, I was born in College Point on November 2nd, 1929. And we lived right on an apartment house across from Flushing Bay, in sight of the White Stone Bridge that was built in 1939, actually, and LaGuardia Airport was in the distance. I was always down at the water's edge. That's why I was so interested in boating. And I started out pretty early boating as a kid. I built my first kayak when I was about 11 and a half.
And it worked? It floated, or whatever kayaks do?
Yes, and we paddled around, you know, but that was my interest all the time.
What was your father and your mother?
My father was a roofer and a tinsmith worker. Yeah, they migrated here in 1922 when they came from Germany, mm-hmm. Right, yeah. And they were both employed. My mother was actually, what would you call it, a nurse? A nanny, yes, a nanny,
wow,
right,
wow.
You know, for wealthy people in New York,
see,
right.
I see. So then you went to school, and did you go to college at all?
No, I didn't, no. I went to school in College Point and a continuation school. I went to Flushing High, and then I transferred to another school. And things were getting a little out of hand with me, so I...
Why, you were a bad person?
I just couldn't get interested in the schoolwork the way I should have, you know. So finally, I went to work, I got a job, and not long after that, as soon as I turned 17, I joined the Army. But I wanted to go in the Navy, and amazingly, they were not taking any recruits because the shooting war was over. But officially, World War II was not over for 2 months when I entered.
So what does that mean?
That means that I'm a World War II veteran by 2 months and never saw any active duty at all, you know, which, you know, it's fortunate for me because I actually got called for Korea, but they told me that I was deferred because I was a World War II veteran.
Just a bureaucratic thing.
Well, it's a matter of timing, mm. You know. Fortunately for me, I...
Were you disappointed?
No, I wasn't disappointed. I didn't want to go.
Oh,
I
didn't, okay.
Certainly didn't want to go to Korea. And I lost one particular friend that I lost who was actually going to go with me when I went into the Army. Mm. And he failed to show up because his mother was sick. And it ended up that he was drafted and went to Korea, mm. And never came back.
Oh, dear.
You know, so it's a question of timing.
Mm-hmm. So then what happened?
I was in for 18 months, mm-hmm. And I got discharged, and then I came home, back to College Point, and then I had a job in Bayside working for a contractor. I was a carpenter's helper, and I moved to Bayside, where I roomed in Bayside. And actually, we were doing some finished basements. In those days, finished basements were quite popular. And I went to June's house with another carpenter, and we finished a basement. And that's how I met June.
Was it your parents' house?
Our parents'
house, right. Mm-hmm.
And that was when?
That was 49, was it? 50, let's see, we got married.
Around 1950.
About 1950, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then?
And then we got married, and we moved to St. James, where mm-hmm. I built a house in St. James. Yeah. Designed the house and built it myself. and we moved there. And
29
we
were there. Years.
29 years we lived in St. James, right? And then from there...
So slowly you're coming east.
Yeah, I'm working my way. Right. And then from there we, I built my son's house out here, my oldest son. I built his house. And then Freddie's house was next, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Right, then I built Freddie's house. That's my youngest son. And then I built this house 30 years ago this year. Wow. Yeah.
So all of the things you've talked about are all land things, right? Mm-hmm. They're houses,
right,
basically.
Right, exactly.
Except for the kayak in the, mm-hmm. when you were 11 and a half.
Right, right.
What everybody writes about you and talks about you here on the North Fork is your maritime activities.
Right, okay. Actually, after the kayaks, I built a rowboat. That was the next thing I built, something more stable. And I ended up building a sailboat. It was about a 14 and a half foot sailboat because I had a job when I was about 14, 15, working in a sailboat yard. And that's what got me interested in boat building. So I built a sailboat and then I went into service, and my brother and a friend actually sailed that boat 60 miles out the Long Island Sound all the way to Mount Sinai.
Were you surprised?
He wrote me in a letter that we sailed all the way, and I was surprised because it was a fairly small boat. It was only a 14 and a half foot boat. And then finally, when we moved to St. James, I built some small runabouts because the boys wanted to go water skiing and all those things. So I started building boats for the boys, you know. And then I built some half a dozen boats at least. And then finally, I saw a boat. A friend of mine who was an electrician, his boat burned in a fire. And he told me where the wreck was over in Port Jefferson. And I went over there and I towed that wreck home and rebuilt it. And I ran that boat for 4 years, was it, hon? Yes. When another boat blew up in Port Jefferson, a larger one. But that boat, the house, the cabin was still on the boat, but it was pretty bad. Nobody died. It was actually almost a miracle that nobody died. And I took that boat home and salvaged that and rebuilt it and ran that boat for 29 years out here, mostly out of St. James and then here.
So why did you actually come to Greenport?
Well, actually, mother and father had a piece of property out here where we still have that mm-hmm. little small house on it in Greenport. So there was background of her parents and her grandfather, actually. And of course, when we were in St. James, we would take trips out to Greenport with our boat, which was a 34-foot wheeler. Mm-hmm. And so we would come out here, we'd go to Block Island and Montauk and places, but we made several trips to Greenport, and we liked it, you know, so that's how we originally...
Then our oldest son moved here, and then our younger son.
Yes.
So the whole family was here.
Yeah.
All I'm hearing is that you make things. You make houses, you make boats, you restore boats. And then, you know, I also have seen pictures and other things of all the other things that you made. A lot of things you've done for children. Furniture, you made this?
Yes.
This table we're sitting at?
That corner cabinet over there.
It's actually quite fine cabinetry you do as well.
Yeah.
And I hear that you also paint. Could you talk about that?
Well, it's just some of the boats that I built. I just painted those models of, actually painted those boats on the saw. Just, you know, so I could remember the ones that I had, you know, at one point or another.
You could lose track of the boats that you've had. But you painted on a saw. Can you describe the saw?
Well, it's a two-man saw with a lot of large teeth on it. And they're usually about 5 or 6 feet long, some of them, which they used to knock down huge trees years ago before they had such a thing as a chainsaw, you know. And they would have them at yard sales periodically, you know. They would sell these old saws, you know. And I had some old equipment farmers used, you know, mm-hmm. hoes and such, and shipbuilding tools that were all used by hand, you know.
And then you painted what kinds of things? Just But boats or other things on the
boat? Mostly just the boats, really. There's a few, you know. I'm really not a painter, per se, you know, like doing pictures of people, you know.
So I'm just trying to think of some other things that maybe we haven't talked about.
Well, the lighthouse, I built a model of the lighthouse in the sections of the way it was actually launched and put in place. Did you ever see the tape that's made showing how it was launched in the shipyard in piecemeal? In other words, the foundation was rebuilt right out there on the water. They actually used the ferry to bring a cement truck, and they pumped the cement from the ferry right to do the foundation over, because originally it needed to have a new foundation, because years ago it had what they call legs, which gave it the appearance of a bug on the water. There were big long legs that went down, known as bug light, because it looked like a bug on the water, you know. And of course now they put a permanent foundation. And then in the shipyard, they built the sections of the house. The foundation was in, and now they built the first floor section, and then the second floor section with the tower. And the last thing, which I made, was the lantern room. Right, and they took these, they had a launching there at the shipyard with a lot of dignitaries, and Merle Wiggin, who was actually the person who was the man who started this whole process about getting the bug light put back in, because obviously the first one was burned down in 1963, I believe it was burned down.
It's a functioning lighthouse
now? Oh yes, yeah. Now it is, and it's Coast Guard approved, you know. And then finally the launching, they took it out on barge, and then these sections were actually craned into place. And finally, the last thing, of course, was the lantern room.
What is the lantern room? How big is it?
It's about 7.5 feet tall, right? And the base of it is maybe about 6.5, 7 feet. They gave me a set of plans to work from, and that's what I used to make it the right size and all.
And where did you make it?
I actually made it in Greenport, where I have a little shop there. And I made it in the shop, and then we took it down to Preston's and Claudio's, and they set it right in the middle of the turnabout. Mm-hmm. And they had a donation barrel there, because they were always looking for funding to keep this whole project going. You know, you can imagine what it took. It was launched in 1990.
But it took several years then to do this.
No, it didn't. It was amazing how quick it was done. I can't quite remember.
Because lots of different people were working on each section then.
Well, they had carpenters, a contractor, right, who actually did the sections in the shipyard. My sons, which were North Fork Welding, they made a frame out of steel, and then the structure was built on that, the first floor structure, and then the second floor structure went in place, and it was amazing the way it all went together, you know.
Your sons are also involved in sort of marine...
Well, they actually have a business, North Fork Welding.
See, that's really interesting. I mean, who knows? Who thinks about it? How lighthouses, A, are constructed and reconstructed, which is what this is.
Exactly.
Very interesting. Yeah, it's a very important landmark for Greenport, for the North Fork.
Otto Schoenstein, Greenport resident and Maritime Festival's 2014 Person of Honor, is talking about his life and his work. June Schoenstein joins in the conversation. This is North Fork Works on WPKN Radio.
But that's what I'd like to find out. So all of these things, I mean, so you said you're not actually doing anything right now.
No.
And are you thinking about things that you're not doing? I mean, do you have something you'd like to do and are not doing?
I'm still working on Tuesday. We have a Tuesday group. Most of the fellas are all retired. Matter of fact, they are all retired. And one of our oldest fellas is 91.
Who are the fellas?
Well, they're from all over town, you know, South.
Well, what do they have in common?
Some from Riverhead.
Nothing.
Yes, exactly.
From all different occupations.
So they just get together and do what?
And we work at Halleckville. We do a lot of things there. Halleckville Farm, you're familiar with that, right? Yeah, as a matter of fact, we were there Tuesday again.
And what, do you repair things there?
Just about anything they can think of. Right now, we've been putting a little small back porch with a stairway and some handrail on one of the old buildings that the the old stoop got really bad.
It's a historic farm.
Right,
built
right.
A cow shed.
Well, yes, we built a cow shed there.
For the school children come for daycare.
Yeah,
or,
right. So there's always constant projects.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you can never get done there.
Right.
You know, there's always something. And the upkeep of all these old buildings, you know, so...
So that keeps you busy for most of you, or the other things that you're doing like that? Or?
We worked at the Animal Rescue Center in Hampton Bays. We worked there and did some different things for them there.
I'm just wondering, why do you do all these things?
Oh, I mean, it's enjoyable to do this kind of thing, especially with different people from different walks. I mean, they're all not carpenters. Some are, some aren't. You know, some have done some building. We actually did the blacksmith shop. And I don't know if you know that whole episode, how it was brought there, right? It was a building that the man owned. And I actually worked for that man. And I said to him, what about that old shed that's up there in East Marion? He said, well, what do you want to do with it? And I said, well, it fits the blacksmith shop within a few inches in each direction. So he says, the town can have it. So he donated it, you know.
Did work at Cornell?
Yes, we did at Cornell. We worked on some sailboats there.
For the children's program.
Right,
to learn sailing.
So we refurbished some of their small sailboats, you know.
But not everything you've done is with these other people. I mean, you've been doing this for years and years, before you ever met these other guys, probably.
Right, yeah.
So I'm just wondering, why are you like this? What is it that you get out of it? What is it that you get?
Well, this is a general interest that you have in those things, you know.
Built a bench down at our beach for all of the community to go down and sit there, an osprey nest, and everybody enjoys watching the ospreys and the babies every year. Yeah.
And not everybody does these things. You're obviously very unusual in how you're constantly, all your life, you've been doing things with your hands, basically.
Yeah, when I was young, I was making flying models, you know, and I was just very interested in that, you know. And the apartment house that we lived in was actually three stories and with a rooftop. So I would make these models, flying models, which were very light and covered with tissue, and I would fly them off the roof, you know, of the apartment building, you know.
So that's the point. You've always done things.
Yes, I've
and you're always probably looking for something.
I was always interested in doing something, you know.
And before one thing is finished, you've got another bunch
One thing stopped and we go on to something
else. He always wanted
to
build a submarine, but he never got to that.
There's still time.
No, he's only 84.
It's a good thing I didn't.
Which of these things have you passed on to your children? Your sons?
Two sons. Well, they're pretty creative, you know. I mean, you have to realize a kid, 10 and a half years old, my oldest son, pushes a car on our property that a neighbor gave him, a little English Hillman car. Did you ever hear of a Hillman?
Yeah, I did, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I said, what are you going to do with that? And he says, that's my car. So we pushed it in a backyard, and amazingly, he had that thing running.
So you think he inherited that from you?
Yeah, I think the creative.
Yeah, he's pretty creative. Yeah, he's
the other one, the younger one, bought a car for $10, and a week later he went to Florida with all of his friends.
Yeah,
he had it all repaired, and they never had any trouble at all.
Yeah. So it's not just wood and water; it's mechanical.
Are pretty creative, right? Yeah. And then we would take the car, of course, obviously 10 years old. And I would drive it down to the farm field where there was 400 acres of farm field, and he would drive his grandma and grandpa around the farm field.
And he was how old?
10 going on to 11, you know. You couldn't see over the windshield. Or just driving around the field, you know, because obviously he couldn't get a driver's license at that age.
So of all the things that you've done, what are you most proud of? He's pointing to his wife.
Oh.
She puts up with all my nonsense, you know.
No, I really admire everything that he does.
I know, but she has tremendous patience with me, because when I worked on those boats at night, I'd go out there, because I was a contractor when I was rebuilding these boats, so I was working after hours of work and have supper and then go out there till 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning working on a wrecked boat that someday was going to be our family cruiser. So she had that patience, you know, to
We didn't have that. Cell phones in those days, yeah. So he had a phone installed on a tree in the yard because being
right
a contractor,
alongside where the boat
the plumber
was, so
would be calling the electrician, customers, yeah, right. So he would take yeah. the calls right out in the yard while he was working on the boats.
Right.
So you wouldn't have been able to do it if your wife didn't encourage or support it?
Exactly.
Or if she complained?
Yeah, yeah, exactly, you know.
Is it like an ongoing thing, or do you stop some of these things at certain times of day and say, I'm just not going to, like, office hours almost?
No, I kind of try to work it out, you know, as best I can. Other things, other commitments that come up, I always manage to find some time to do your hobbies, you know, a little at a time.
You consider these your hobbies?
Yes, more or less, because a lot of people say, well, how long did it take you to make that model? And I can't even answer that because I'm never working on it continuously, you know.
What is the reason they gave you for being the person of honor for the Maritime Festival?
Well, I think possibly because of doing a blacksmith shop, you know, it was a thing that I was in charge of the construction with that and finding the thing from Mr. Mandel, who owned the property, and, you know, putting that together. And then with the doing the lantern room on the lighthouse, you know, things like that.
Different projects at the Maritime Museum?
Yes, yes. And the Maritime Museum, right from the time it started, we did the Holland submarine in there. That was very interesting. That was the first submarine ever built, and actually built and was built here, and it actually came out of New Suffolk, where they actually ran the sub. So we had an opportunity to build in the museum on the second floor.
The torpedo that he made for the Maritime Museum.
Yes.
Yes, I wish our listeners could see all this pictorial evidence for everything we're talking about.
Tell them about coming down the street in Greenport with the torpedo sticking out of the back of the pickup truck.
Yeah, he thought that the red pickup truck with his torpedo.
Thought that the police would be coming after him for sure.
We had a crew of volunteers, you know, to work with all this stuff, you know, to... That was something
I
made a friend
model.
Of mine. Yeah.
This is of a motorcycle.
Well, this...
It's just a little model about this big, and it was made for a judge that would come up from Florida who was a motorcycle rider. It was for his birthday.
He was the attorney for Harley Davidson.
Yes.
And for his birthday, Otto made a little model of a
this
Harley
is an antique motorcycle, a very old motorcycle, and his nick was Mouse.
I see.
So I put the little mouse on the front fender.
Were you a Harley Davidson rider?
No, not at all. No, I never was into riding motorcycles.
A lot of these things have been community things.
Yes,
community
yes.
Community projects
mostly,
like the blacksmith and
right,
it's
right.
all non-profit.
So you also must work on your own. I mean, when you're like doing these paintings on these saws and stuff, these are your personal projects.
But
do you prefer working with other people than working on your own?
Sometimes, you know, a time schedule, you know, when you're working with other people, obviously it has to be in their time frame, you know, where this way here, you know, go down and work a few hours in a basement, you know.
Do you have a workshop down
yeah,
the basement?
Yeah.
The whole basement is model airplanes, model boats, and saws with
room,
paintings
right,
on them.
And there were a few things that I, you know, very interested in. I took two flights in the B-17 out of Republic, which was extremely interesting to me, mainly to see what these young boys went through during the war, you know, when they have to fly these planes on missions.
So when did you do that?
When did I do? The first flight that I took, 4 years ago, and then I took a second flight, you know, very interesting.
Out of where? Oh, out of
Republic, out of Republic. Yeah.
Airport.
Yeah.
I didn't know what you meant.
Yeah, they try to get as many as anywhere from 6 to 8, 10, maybe 10 people aboard, you know, for the costs, because it's expensive, you know, insurance, fuel.
So
who
owns the plane?
There's a group that actually bring the plane from different places, you know. It comes out of Massachusetts, you know, and they fly it here. You board the plane and just taking off is, the vibration is incredible. You know, it's all metal plane, right? The flight usually lasts something like 35 minutes or so, you know. And it's very interesting. I can't imagine what these young fellas went through when they went on these bombing missions, you know, spending hours and hours just to get to the target and then fly back again, you know, if you survive, you know. Oh, my golly, it's incredible. So I went on one flight, and a friend of my son's actually went with me, and he took pictures. And then another friend of mine, his daughters gave him a flight on a B-17, the same, and he called me and he said, I said, I'll go with you. So the two of us went flying, and we thought it was fantastic, you know, boy.
I guess what I'm thinking as you're talking is you never thought there was something you couldn't do. Yeah. You didn't know that there were limits to what you were supposed to be able to do. Do you know what I'm saying?
He even did a cesarean section on a deer that was hit by a car, and she was obviously pregnant. So he brought the deer home, and he did a cesarean section.
It actually happened right on our street up here, Maple. A couple of houses in, car hit a deer, and I went up there, and I saw the deer laying there, female deer. So I managed to get it in my truck, and I brought it home here. And I took the baby out, but unfortunately it was dead.
Fully formed.
Yeah. Fully formed, right.
And the mother died too?
Yeah, she was dead.
Oh, I see that she was dead when you did the operation.
She was dead when I got to her, you know.
Well, who knows, you know, if I come and talk to you again in a year, what new things you will have, maybe you will have, who knows?
We have deer here every day. I'm surprised they're not here. You see the bird bath out there,
they're
right straight away.
They come every day and drink out of the bird bath, the mother and the babies, and sometimes the buck too.
Yeah, sometimes I fill that thing up six times a day because I can fill it from right in the house here.
Yeah, he made it so that we could fill the bird bath from the house.
Yeah.
We have a shower that comes in and we never have to go out to fill it.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
I'm overwhelmed by all the things that you've done, even though I've only seen a very small fraction of it.
He's done some very nice things on holidays for me. I'll come home and he'll have a whole piece of furniture all made for me that he'd been making at the shop. He always has very interesting gifts. Our coffee table is a centerboard from a sailboat that was wrecked in a storm. And we saw this sticking out of the sand for years as we walked by. Yeah. And he said, someday I'm going to dig it out and make a table. So that's our coffee table now.
Well, you're just not going to stop. That's all.
No,
it's just one project after another. So thank you very much, Otto Schoenstein.
Well, thank you very much.
And thank you, June.
Yeah, that was very exciting, really.
Thank you very much.
Otto Schoenstein, Greenport resident, talk about the many things he has created in his 84 years and the many things that continue to interest him. Otto's wife June also took part in our conversation. You can hear North Fork Works on the first Wednesday of the month at 7:30 p.m. North Fork Works programs are produced by Tony Ernst and available as podcasts on hazelkahn.com.